I have so many good memories of Jesse and Dee. I can remember when they first came into the Sunday school class down there. I'd seen Jesse around in church. It's hard to miss a man in a police officer's uniform with a gun in church. That just catches your attention for some reason. But then he and Dee started coming, and I thought, well, okay, they're a nice couple. And that was good because we were starting a young couples class. I wanted as many nice couples as we could get. And there were three good, faithful couples. Dee and Jesse were one of them. I remember the day, though, that Jesse came to Sunday school without Dee. Jesse was kind of bubbling, and he said, Dee's in talking to the preacher now. She said she needs to be saved. And when Dee came in, she was different. She was saved with a capital S-A-V-E-D. She got everything there was to get that day. And that started a journey for this young couple. And I was fortunate to just be there and watch. Do you know how great that is when God does a work and you just get to watch? Dee and Jesse, I am honored to be a part of this night. You will never know how precious you are to me. I have been praying for you for a long time, and I will continue until the day I die. The Bible gives us lots of great pictures. God knew we needed things that we could see in our minds to guide our steps. One of those great pictures I want to share with you tonight. I have a challenge for you. I would like for you, Dee and Jesse, to be in your ministry something special. I would like for the two of you to be an ox. You feel complimented? Somebody calls you an ox, that's not necessarily a wonderful thing when you first think about it. I'd like for you to be the ox. I thought this was an original thought, and then you get to do some studying, and it seems like this guy by the name of Spurgeon, I ran across him somewhere, actually had this. So it's not original, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart. You know what an ox is? I had to do some research about this. As a kid, I had a picture in my mind of what an ox is. Y'all know what an ox is, right? It's a big old animal, isn't it? You know what an ox really is? It's a cow. Do you know what makes a cow an ox? You put a yoke on them and you teach them to work. I want you to be an ox. You're settling in tonight with a yoke. I want you to be an ox. Now, there's an old tradition that says that the ox that's on the left-hand side, you give them a single syllable name like D. And the ox that's on the right side, you give them a two-syllable name like Jesse. And they can work side by side that way. That's really not true, but it sounds good. And you can tell Dee later on that you heard it in your ordination. So you're just repeating what you said. There was something that came up about Dee in the ordination, which we were talking back there. And all of us agreed that we would not tell Jesse what it was, didn't we? So I'm not going to tell you either, Dee. You'll just have to hang in there. You know, the call that you received to get started with that yoke started a long time ago. It started with that call to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then it got a little more special. For you see, your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But Jesse, you're called. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, said Paul, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. You've been called. And as the pastor alluded to just a little while ago, I beseech you therefore, brethren, when thou come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's what Jesus said. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, an ox is meek. We think about that trait of an ox You just never seem, they just never seem to get too excited about anything. And they just keep after the work. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 22, if you would turn with me, please. 2 I usually carry a notebook with me, and one of these verses I always write down in the notebook in the front to remind me. I've gone through several notebooks now, but I keep the verse. Starting to read in verse 22 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife." Now here's the verse I have written down. "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth, and that they might recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Isn't that your calling, Jesse? The world is lost. Men are dying every day and slipping off into hell, and they think they're doing just fine. It's been described here lately that the religious landscape of America is like a salad bar. You can just walk up and pick whatever you want to off the salad bar, and any of those things that you just don't like the taste of, any of those tough doctrines that are hard to swallow, you can just let them go. You know, things like all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, people don't like the taste of that, so we'll just leave that aside. And instead, we'll have these nice, sweet, little, gentle get-together meetings so we can all feel better about each other and about ourselves, and men slip off into hell. That's why you're going out. You're meek, but you've got a message. Men have deceived themselves. So, preach the truth. By the way, meekness is not weakness.
Amen.
Meekness is not a lack of courage. Meekness is not shyness or not even good manners, really. Let me tell you what meekness is. It's to be humble. It's to be considerate. It's to be courteous. I did some reading about that word meek. And what I learned was this. In classical Greek literature, New Testament written mostly in Greek, there were three different groups of people that would use this word, meek. And here's the way they used it. The first one was a doctor, and he would use this word that is translated meek when he was talking about a medicine that brought comfort when there was an illness or pain. Another one was a sailor who would talk about, in the hottest part of the day, a cool, gentle breeze. He called it meekness. And then there was a farmer, and he would use that word meekness for that ox that was broken and ready to go to work. Are you ready to go to work, Jesse?
Go ahead. That's good.
There's plenty of work to be done. By the way, another trait of an ox is strong. The Bible has a lot to say about being strong. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says this, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. Be strong." Now, I know Jesse. Jesse is strong. Jesse lifts weights. Jesse, we were discussing this back here, one of the traits of a preacher is that they not be a brawler. Now, Jesse made a comment, "I ain't gonna start nothing." But he left the implication he wasn't gonna back away from it either. Jesse is strong. And I know Brother Jesse. Jesse is a strong man of faith. He gets prayers answered. He has to put up with D. He has to be a man of prayer. I know Brother Jesse. But we both know if you stand in either of the strength of yourself or either of the strength of your spirituality, you're going to fail. See, one of the traits about cows, I'm not a city boy, but I'm not exactly a country boy either, but I check this out with the country boys, and they tell me it's true. If you bring a new cow into the herd, you know what that cow does? That cow will go over and start pushing on another cow. Figure out, am I stronger than him or not? They'll push, and then eventually they'll get through the whole herd. One will push against the other until they figure out which one is the strongest cow in the herd. And all of them will give place to the strongest cow in the herd. Now, the smart cow farmer knows all he's got to do is lead the strongest one around. All the rest of them follow. Jesse, you're becoming a leader today. You have been a leader for a while. When you accepted the call to the ministry, you took a step forward. Other people are going to push against you. Just want to check you out. Ephesians 6:10 says this, though, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. And then 2 Timothy 2:1 says this, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And you know about those. There's where you stand. And when they push, you don't have to back up a bit. Another thing about an ox. An ox is slow. You like that one, Jesse? Dee, do you like that one? An ox is slow. Dee pushes against you. I just thought about that. Anyway. Here's what the Bible says about that, though. Proverbs 15:18 says, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Proverbs 16:32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. And then James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. As was discussed back there amongst those preachers, you have assembled a mighty group of preachers, and you let me sit in. I appreciate that. They gave you some great advice. But they have told you that there will be those who will... I think one preacher said it this way, I was cussed out before I went to preach, and then a couple of weeks later I had to go visit him in the hospital. God works it out that way, over and over again. Those that oppose, and then one of them is going, no, wasn't me. Those that oppose are the ones that God will then turn it around, and you have to go minister to. And sometimes that bears on your family, because sometimes when you're catching this, your boys hear it, and they wonder why you don't stand up. Because you've been called to be slow. Help your boys to understand that. May God see that you're doing God's work. God fights your battles. You give Him time to fight them. And this one right here, an ox is made for hard work. You have picked a path that is not easy at all. John 4:35 says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. You're late. People have been dying for thousands of years without you, Jesse. And right now, the statisticians, boy, that was a word, the guys who make up numbers tell us that half the people who have ever lived from Adam and Eve till today are alive today. Isn't that amazing? You have a chance to preach to half of the population of the total world from Adam's time till today. And how many of those are lost? I'm told millions are lost. How many need the gospel? All of them. What a job. When I think about being a preacher, I wonder why in the world anybody would want to be a preacher. When you think about it, why would you want to be a preacher? There's long hours. There's low pay. There's people that will hate you, not for what you've done, but because of what they've done, and you confront them. You've already got that kind of job. You're a deputy sheriff. Good part about your job now is you get to carry a gun. When you become a preacher, you lay down the gun. You pick up the sword.
Amen. It's good.
As a preacher, you're not called to do anything but sow the seed. And we remember Matthew chapter 13. A sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. Fowl came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places where they had not much earth. And they sprung up, but because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. I've often wondered, why in the world did this sower plant seed in bad ground? You know, farmers today, you don't go out and sow your seed before you plow the ground. We're commanded to sow the seed. Something special about an ox, though, a horse. Horse is a little faster. That's why horses caught on. A man can walk to town and back faster than he can lead an ox to town and back. But the ox can carry an awful lot on the way back that the man couldn't. Horses are much faster, but horses would get discouraged in bad ground. If you're plowing and you hit a lot of rocks, eventually a horse will just quit. An ox will never quit.
Amen.
Jesse, you are called to never quit. If there was ever a spot of bad ground that we are in to plow, this is it. It is thorny. It is hard. It's the place that God's put you. Are you an ox? Will you just keep on going? I believe you will. That's why I'm proud to sit back there with you. As a preacher, you only have one thing to do. If you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll read about it. And I'm just about done. 2 Timothy 4, 1 says this, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. What are the first three words in verse 2? Preach the word. That's all you got to do. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, I bet it's here, when they will not endure sound doctrine.
Amen.
But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Boy, does that describe today. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Last thing about an ox I want to remind you of is that an ox exists to pull the plow or to be the sacrifice. An ox exists between the plow and the sacrifice. And that's where you are. I want you to be the ox. More than once in Scripture, it was recorded that men were plowing with the oxen. And God moved, and they stopped the plowing, used the instruments of the plow to offer the oxen as a sacrifice, and moved on. That's your calling, Jesse. Pull the plow as long as you can, as far as God wants you to, and then be ready for the sacrifice. As we finish up these verses, Paul said here, verse 6, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. A few years from now, I want you to use those same verses. I've fought a good fight. You're fighting a good fight now. I've finished my course. You're starting your course right now. I've kept the faith. I stand for the faith right now. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. What does it mean to be ordained? Well, when my children came along and turned 16, that magical age, one by one they presented themselves before me and said, "It's time for me to drive." So I told each one of them in turn that here are the keys to a 2-ton weapon. Now be careful, you can kill somebody with this. And then we set out, they went through their driver's training and they got their license, and they all announced, "I now know how to drive." And I told them, "No, you really don't. What you have done is you have demonstrated the minimum skills necessary to get a driver's license. There's lots to learn from now on." So what does it mean today, Jesse? Well, it means that this church and these men that met with you have been watching you. And what they found is someone who's demonstrated the minimum skills necessary. We have been witnesses to your call. We have been witnesses to the work of grace of God in your life. And we stand with you. Today you move from being one of the members of the congregation to being one of the called. Today you put on the yoke. We're here to help you put the yoke on. We're here to help you pull. We're going to pray for you. We're going to walk with you. If you stumble, we're going to be there to restore you. We're going to make it through because we serve an awesome God. In just a few moments, men are going to lay hands on you. Men who in their turn had hands laid on them. By men who had hands laid on them. By men who had hands laid on them. By men who had hands laid on them. Jesse, you're one more generation. It's not over yet. That's exciting. There's too much gray hair in church. Have y'all noticed that? And I'm not ready for Grecian 16. I'm ready for younger men. I'm glad there's younger men. And as the old man said, well, it was my pastor in the mountains. He said, "I'll stand at your back till they beat your belly blue." That's my job. One more generation, Jesse. Will you be the ox?